Hey everyone, welcome back to 9 to 5 Mom with a Pod. I am your host, Francesca, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about how to stop procrastinating for moms. So let's be honest, because we've all been there and you've got this long to-do list and somehow you find yourself scrolling through Instagram instead of doing, you know, the thing that you're supposed to be doing. We're going to dig into why we procrastinate, the strategies to break that cycle, and how to reframe procrastination as something that we can actually conquer instead of feeling like we're like a total failure.
And now this is the tricky part. The more we do these rituals, be mindful of when it happens. We let our brain know that we're in control.
Well, I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have a sitter. So I'm going to start next year. And then you blink, it's 10 years later. So joining me today, we have Jenny Wrightson, and she's a mindful productivity coach who's helped busy individuals, leaders, and teams find better, less stressful ways to do more through a neuroscience-based, mindfulness-infused approach to productivity. Jenny, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, great, great. I was literally, we were just talking about it, that it's amazing. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
You're in Tel Aviv, right?
Yes.
I find it amazing that your background is that you're a Tel Aviv-based, but you're a former architect-turned-entrepreneur. Like, what is that like?
Yeah, I've had many different kind of cycles in life, and I was an architect for almost a decade before transitioning into entrepreneurship and to coaching, what I do today. And I think it's just been following my... You can say passion, you can say purpose, but I'm really, really happy with what I'm doing today. Yeah.
I love it. I feel like pivoting is super important. I did want to ask you because a lot of my audience is moms, and this is one of the top things on the list of how do I have more time to do things and things like that. So I did want to ask you, what are the most common, I guess, generically speaking, so we can understand it, what are the most common reasons why people procrastinate and how we can identify our own patterns?
Okay. So when we're talking about procrastination, I want to kind of divide my answer into two. So one, when we're talking about the task. If we're looking at the task, some of the reason we procrastinate might be because we lack clarity. We don't actually understand what this task means on our to-do list. Maybe it's, you know, start a podcast or create a course or do something. And we're like, okay, my brain doesn't actually know what this means. It can be that the task is too overwhelming or too big for our brain. And then it just like, okay, doesn't want to do that. Again, okay, maybe declutter my entire house or do something big. And it can be because the task is boring and we just don't want to do it. So that's kind of like the task related. But if we go a layer deeper and we get to the root cause of procrastination, the root cause of procrastination is fear. It can be either fear of failure. It can be fear of not meeting our own high standards if we're perfectionists like myself. And we feel like sometimes it's like we just want to get things done perfectly or we don't want to do it at all. So we find very creative ways to procrastinate. Sometimes people think like procrastination is just putting the task aside, but I use learning as procrastination. When I get into a project, I can spend days and weeks just like learning or prepare myself because I convince myself that I want to produce the best quality results. So I need all of this just to take action when in fact, I'm actually very sophisticatedly, but procrastinating. And sometimes it's just the fear of success. We know that if we send out that proposal or talk to that client, we might actually get that job we want or that project, and we're afraid of it. So fear can come up and manifest in different ways, but that's usually when we're looking a little deeper, that's the root cause of procrastination for all of us.
That is very interesting that you say that, because one of those, and you have to, I guess, it's all part of societal pressure as well, I feel, especially for moms, because we operate in this culture obsessed with being busy and hustling and achievements and girl bossing. And they come up with memes about it. And as I scroll through Instagram, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but sometimes they do memes of like, I'm so tired. And I know that they're supposed to be funny, but I feel like the more reels that you see, you start convincing yourself like, yeah, I have to do this. I have to be girl bossing. I have to be doing something. And clarity is like you said, clarity is a big deal. And I think in your website, leisurehacker.com, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to put the link below so you can guys visit it and take a look at it for yourselves. But you talk about the feeling that I'm never doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I used to feel that way too, where I'm like, I'm not doing enough. I could have a jam-packed day and it feels like I'm not doing enough.
Exactly, because the feeling of enoughness, like I like to call it, doesn't come from anything external. We can do so many things and never feel like we're doing enough. And on the contrary, if we work on rewiring our brain to think differently, we can do much less, but the right things, and we can go to bed feeling satisfied. And I think at the end of the day, that's all we want in life. Just ending our days, going into bed, and just feeling like, okay, I've done enough. That was a good day. Like, I can go to bed with ease and just fall asleep without thinking of like, oh, I should have sent that email, or I didn't pack that lunch, or whatever it is. And just having this peace of mind, I think that's what we all aspire to, or at least I do.
Is there a tip that you have to kind of fix that problem? For instance, it's so amazing that you mentioned that, and actually strange, because I went through that the other day, and I was trying to go to sleep and I could not turn off my brain. So it was the weirdest thing. So I felt everything was fine. There was nothing that was going on, but my brain would not shut off. So then I was trying to close my eyes and I was trying to go to sleep, and then I couldn't. And I was so frustrated that I went to my living room, and then I started like typing, like, what are the, you know, how can I calm myself down? Because for some reason I can't turn off my brain. And then one of the tactics was count to 100 backwards in threes, you know, in threes. So then my husband's like, oh my God, did you really do that? I'm like, I did. And it really did calm me down. And then eventually ended up, I mean, I ended up sleeping in the couch because I literally fell asleep as I was doing it. But it's an example of like how you feel incredibly overwhelmed. So
I think there's many ways we can deal with it. I think the solution should and can come the day before or the weeks before, and not just like, there's many tips I can give like for different mindfulness practice, because eventually this is what you did. But I want us to create a solution that we won't come to this. And I think just having sometimes end of the day kind of like a ritual can really, really help, because before we finish work or before we turn off to sleep, we can take 2 minutes, 5 minutes to just write down or look at our to-do list if we're keeping track of it, and just see what we've done today. Congratulate ourselves for the things we have accomplished and say like, oh, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this, and actually acknowledge all the things we do and not just like the things that are work related. Because sometimes as mom, we're like doing the laundry and cooking food and taking care of our babies and keeping them alive. And we're like, oh, that's obvious. That's not a thing that I did today. But that should also, it doesn't have to be on your to-do list, but it should be on your acknowledgement list. And just say like, wow, I've done all of these things today. Amazing. Okay, what did I not accomplish today? Oh, this email, this proposal, okay, this whatever. Amazing. Write it down and tell yourself, tell your subconscious mind, like, you know what? I got this. I'm going to take care of it tomorrow. Don't worry, like, I'm in control. And then we're kind of signaling our brain that it's going to be okay, that it can relax. And I think the transition into nighttime or leisure time, whether we're just watching TV on the couch or we're going to bed or having quality time with our partner, with our friends, can be smoother. And I think the more we do these rituals and the more we create a more positive self-talk, we let our brain know that we're in control, and it can't just show up in the middle of the night bashing us and reminding us all the things we didn't do and just taking over.
I love that you said rituals, because one of the strategies, I was reading the Atomic Habits book recently. I've read that book like 5 times and I forget about it completely. And when I read it again, I'm like, oh my God, this is literally like I'm reading it for the first time all over again. But Atomic Habits is by James Clear, for those of you who don't know. And he really talks about rituals. And there was a portion where he did, and I do agree with that. I feel it's so difficult to get into a ritual, though, and especially as a mom, because every day for me, for example, and I think I have the most simplest day because I work remote. The rituals, even though I have a ritual every single day, like how I get things ready in the day, it's still difficult to kind of manage and keep because things with children always come up, like my daughter will get sick or, you know, or she has, you know, we need to take her somewhere or we actually have to do something the next day. Oh, this weekend we have a party going on. So like our calendars are like never in sync. So to master ritual, I'm almost there. I started about 3 months ago to say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate, because my schedule is so jam-packed, I'm going to dedicate, let's say, Mondays and Wednesdays to interviewing guests, let's say, right? And then I'm going to dedicate, let's say, Fridays and Mondays. I mean, recording days alternate, but I usually try to keep it like, oh, let's say let's do a Monday or let's do a Friday. So I guess the key is, and I don't know if you would agree with me, maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, would be to just try to hold it together. Not perfect, but try to keep it as consistent as and as close as consistent as you can.
Yes, 100%. First of all, I love what you said because consistency doesn't mean doing the same thing every day. Even doing something once a month is still consistency. So I think like we can reframe what consistency means to us, one thing. The second thing you said, better done than perfect. Like I think that we have this like, oh, if I don't do the same thing every day, so it's not a ritual, or I fell off the wagon and I need to come back. No, just don't look at it this way. Do your best. Even if you're doing this ritual 3 times a week or 2 times, because this is what's possible for you right now, amazing. Keep going. And if you, quote unquote, fell off the wagon, just continue. Don't judge yourself for the days you missed and just keep on the progress because the progress is more important than perfection. Such a cliche, but it's true.
It's true. It's true. I'm with you with that. I'm with you.
And I think also that we can just break down the word rituals into smaller things. Again, I love what you said and about this consistency in your schedule, but ritual can be tiny. It can be like the 30 seconds that while we brush our teeth, and it doesn't have to be the same time or the same way every day, we take a minute and set the intention for the day. That's a ritual that takes 30 seconds and doesn't have to be big. And a lot of the time when we're trying, especially now it's the new year, everybody's correct, like new year, new me, trying to like adopt all this big habits and atomic habits as well. But I think it's just breaking it down to the smaller things and repeating them. And I love what you said because a lot of the time clients come to me and they've read books and they listen to podcasts and they're like, wow, this information is life-changing. Like, that's amazing. But it's really, really hard for us to implement. And I think the biggest misconception is that knowledge is power, but knowledge is just 20% of the change. 80% is actually having the mental muscles, and this is why I teach mental fitness, to actually implement that knowledge. And the reason we need rituals is because we need to repeat this knowledge and actually implement it before it becomes a habit. We can't just like know something and make it work or try it. We have to like build the muscles to hold that knowledge to actually sustain us for a longer period of time, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And that goes very similar to exercise. So about right around September, a lot of people have been asking me, oh my God, well, I mean, you haven't seen me, but I was 25 pounds heavier 3 months ago. I mean, to lose 25 pounds in 3 months, that's, you know, I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I know that we have this concept right now of doing things right away and trying to get things done. It almost seems like a factory base where like, you know, like productivity, get it out the window. You know, we need to, like you said, we need to start in the new year, get it out the window. We need to lose 30 pounds, get it out the window. So I said, you know what? What if I just pause for a second and take one thing at a time? The first week was probably the worst week because I'm like, I lost 2 pounds. Big deal. Like, you see it so tiny. But I kept consistent at it. I kept working out. And even though working out is still difficult for me, because it's part of my ritual, right? Even if I can't do, let's say, certain days, like I don't have a specific days of working out, it's whenever I have time. Like today, this morning, I have to record, so I couldn't go to the gym. But that doesn't mean anything. That means like I could go tonight or I could go tomorrow, you know, like I'll skip a day. But it's still part of my ritual that I have to work out, let's say, 4 times a week at least, and try to keep that as consistent as possible. So it's true, but it takes so much time to develop that. And I think patience is what kind of like lowers our barriers, because a lot of people, especially the moms that I talk to, they're like, yeah, I tried that for like a month and it didn't work out for me. And I'm like, if you just keep going at it and keep pushing through it, I feel like you're going to get it. I feel like you're going to get it. And that goes with consistency and rituals and stuff. But like you said, it doesn't have to be every single day. It doesn't have to be a ritual. Every single day doesn't have to be consistent. If you don't have the time, you can say, I'm going to make the time. That once a month, I'm going to journal. Okay, you don't want to journal every day. Journal once a month.
Yeah.
You know, journal once a week. So there are options. And I did want to ask you, and you know, in speaking about all of this, what do you think are those 3 strategies that you would use to overcome procrastination? And, you know, that anyone, let's say, can start implementing today?
I think the first thing that we want to do, if we want to really, like, stop procrastinating, again, at the core level of our mind, we need to become aware of our patterns and understand where the procrastination is coming from. And now this is the tricky part, because I think a lot of people can say they're procrastinators in a very general way, in a broader perspective. They can say, oh, I'm such a procrastinator. But not a lot of people can actually be mindful of when it happens. So I want us to try to reflect on the things that we procrastinate, maybe in the moment, maybe at the end of the day when we're doing our day reflection, or the next morning when we're journaling, when we're like, okay, I have this task, I've been procrastinating it. Why? What is going on? What is this little voice in my back of my mind is telling me? Am I afraid of this task? What do I think is going to happen if I perform this task? Is it boring? Is it too big? Like, what is going on? Because then we can connect the solution to the actual root cause. Because if something is boring, okay, let's try to make it more fun. If I hate folding the laundry, maybe I can put a podcast and listen to a podcast while I'm doing it. And then it's not as boring and I don't need to procrastinate it. If the task, again, is very vague or is unclear, how can I rewrite it in a way that my brain is just like, oh, okay, I got this. I can do it. Maybe I need to break it down. Maybe I need to, again, this is kind of like on the surface help or kind of strategy. And if we go a little deeper, then we're like, okay, what am I afraid of? Right? So we have 2 different kind of tasks. If it's just simple task like folding the laundry, sending a proposal, something. If we're procrastinating something big, even if it's like going to the gym, okay, what am I afraid of happening? Am I not going to lose the weight? Am I going to lose the weight and maybe look skinny? What am I afraid that will happen then? Like, it can be so many limiting beliefs that lie underneath the procrastination. So first of all, we just need to figure out what is going on and then kind of try to figure out what's the solution.
It's like finding the enjoyment in things that you like, or finding enjoyment in the things that are very tedious. And then implementing that in your task, like you said, the folding laundry, put some music on. You hate folding laundry. That thing stays in my laundry for like 3 days until you decide, you're like, oh my God, it's there. I'll get to it. And then you're like, you know what? Put your jam on.
Put music on, have a dance party while you fold the laundry. Whatever it is you need to make it less of a hassle and more like an enjoyment.
It's it's so funny. In the Atomic Habits book, this is just the only part. They actually put two things that you basically mentioned this. Number one, so the two strategies to kind of like stop procrastinating and kind of like implementing that. Number one is decide the type of person you want to be. And number two, prove it to yourself with small wins. So, and I feel like that's another thing, another little bit of encouragement in procrastination, a little bit of a reward, especially if it's a big task. Like if it's a big task and you're like, man, I did it by the deadline that I said that I was going to do it. Like reward yourself with something. And I feel like that's also one of those things that you can celebrate your small wins. It could be either that or setting micro goals. For instance, like in the recording, podcast recording, it's a big project because then there's a recording part aspect of it. There's the post-production. There's also pre-preparation. And I can't do all that all at once. So I have to like, okay, one of these days, I have to sit down and work on, you know, listening to the episode. The next day I make notes, you know, the show notes. And you just kind of like, you know, just like eating. They always tell you, chew your food. Chew your food, chew your tasks. Maybe that's a new thing I should have on a t-shirt. Chew your tasks into smaller, tiny bit pieces. And then I know. And just do it one at a time and then you'll be fine. So this is great. I did notice that on your website, you have I want to get this guide. I didn't get a chance to do it, but I really want everybody to get into this because I'm going to do this today after it. You have a form from tasks to overwhelmed to effortlessly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
This is on your website.
Yeah, it's like a 5-day mini course or challenge. And it's a very, very simple strategy to help people prioritize their task better, especially with moms or just people that juggle many, many things. If we have our household and our work and our friends and our relationship and our self-care, and it's just too many things on our plate, sometimes we don't know how to prioritize everything because we just have so much going on. And I think that's a really, really easy strategy and a mindset shift, because it's always both. It's always the strategy and the mindset shift we need to actually become effortlessly efficient.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to leave the link below for everyone to go in and check it out, download it. I think it would be amazing. Also, it is true. There's a lot of pressure. And I mentioned it earlier about culture pressure, the pressures of our culture for social media, girl bossing, et cetera. And a lot of moms do come to me about this. And then they said, you know, I just, and this is my last point to you. I really want to shift the mom mindset to really, know that this takes time. Because we're like, I don't know if you're like a Marvel fan, like I am a Marvel Avenger fan, but, you know, in Disney, they have the TVA with Loki. Okay. So it's a Marvel thing. I'm a Marvel fan. Either way, the TVA has like all these lines of universes and, you know, they always have to be consistent. And sometimes a lot of the shows and then the movies, something happens with the timeline where it like messes everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like us moms were in a whole different timeline. And I guess that was the point that I was trying to make. We're in a whole different timeline in the TVA. And because we can't compare ourselves to the people that don't have kids. Not that there's anything wrong with not having kids. We just cannot compare ourselves to them because we don't have that same timeline. We have responsibilities and other things that we need, just like people without kids have their own responsibilities. And I feel like I want to shift the mindset because it demotivates a lot of moms into starting something, doing something, or we, like you said, procrastinate in the mind without even realizing that, oh yeah, I'm just a procrastinator. Oh yeah, so I'm going to leave this to the end or whatever. And one, you know, like in particular, a lot of moms, like for instance, in their brands, right? They're like, oh, how did you build a brand? I'm like, I don't. That's like, I would have to explain to you what I did the entire year. And they get demotivated because they're like, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have, you know, I don't have a sitter, et cetera. So I'm going to start next year, next year, next year, next year. And then you blink and it's 10 years later. And then you're like, what did I do with all this time? So anyway, I wanted to ask you, how can moms shift their mindset to see procrastination as something that they can conquer rather than just like a personal flaw? Do you have a thought about that?
I think the best strategy to conquer procrastination is self-compassion. It sounds so counterintuitive because
I love it.
I think we all grew up with the notion that if we want to change, we need to be hard on ourselves, right? We need to like criticize ourselves and be better. And again, all the hustle culture that we're in is not helping this, this limiting beliefs. But I think, and it's not just my opinion, it's based in neurological research, that the more self-compassion we have, the easier it is for us to actually take action forward. So because when we're in self-judgment, and like you said, when we're comparing ourselves to other people, when we're comparing our time or whatever excuse, our resources, our money, our situation, we're in this state that it's really, really hard to take action from. But when we soften and we say like, okay, it's not that, and again, it's, some people take it like, oh, just be like, everything's okay. You're a perfect unicorn. We're not doing that. We can have blameless discernment about ourselves and where we need to be better. Maybe we need to be better with time management. Maybe we need to be better with our habits or our eating or whatever it is. But it doesn't come with the criticism. And when we put the criticism aside and we learn how to have self-compassion, then we literally open up our mind to a world of possibilities and opportunities. And then we can actually take small action. And like you said, if we take small action and we celebrate it, it comes another small action and another win and another win. And eventually, a year later, we create a successful brand like you did. But I don't think it can happen if we're really, really hard on ourselves and we're in self-judgment.
I think self-compassion is a big deal for us. And you know what? I'm glad that you said that, because criticizing ourselves and putting ourselves in a position where we're not good enough, or we're just like, okay, well, you know, everything's going to be fine. And I always say this, first thing is first, mind your business. And I'm not saying it in a negative way. I mean, mind your business in the sense of like, I feel like if you just focus on yourself, if you're selfish just for you, forget about what other people are doing. I've practiced this entire year where I kind of like detach myself whenever there's drama or where there's about to be drama somewhere. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be in it. But it also, I feel like the environment that we're in affects us as well, because we feel either obligations or things are happening around us. So I do agree. I feel like those are a lot of triggers that I think that maybe moms feel, you know what, I don't want to do this right now, or I don't want to start right now because there's so much going on my plate. But like in the mind your business strategy, which is not meant to be like, hey, mind your business, but more like just focus on yourself.
Yeah.
In a very, really good way. Trust me, if you focus on yourself for 3 months, you don't want to go back to that old person. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go back to that old version of yourself. And when I did that, it was a huge game changer for me, because I was just like, even when I get text messages, I'm like, that sounds like it's going to be a problem for the day. And I'm in a different mindset today. So I'm not going to do that. Obviously, we have responsibilities that we can't turn our backs on. But in general, things that have nothing to do with us, I feel like if we have self-compassion, I feel like in building self-compassion is also building that personality and, you know, working on those triggers and also working on yourself personally, I think. And especially because, you know what, Jenny, I love your website, because it was so simple to scroll through. You could literally scroll through your website and you're like, oh, yes, that sounds like me.
That also sounds like me.
Oh, yeah. That's a checkbox right there. So I feel like it's great. Is there anything that in your personal life, was there anything life-changing for you when you started this business and you pivoted to a new thing? I know that we're moving away from procrastinating, but I'm very happy with what you've built. And I really want to ask you, like, is there something that really just keeps you going? Let me just say that. Is there something that keeps you going to continue doing this? Did you find the passion in doing this?
100%. Just seeing how much I change my client's life makes me do it every day and just keep doing it. Because I started when I completely burned out. This is why I left architecture. And I'm like, there's gotta be a way that I can still be successful because I have a completely type A high achiever personality and I want to get things done and I want to achieve and I want to be big. But I also like, I'm not willing to pay the price of the stress, the price that it has on my well-being, on my relationships. And I went on this like 6-year journey to try to find a better way to get things done and to be successful and to make the money I want, but stress-free. And now that I get to help people do that, it just makes me so happy. I think it has a ripple effect. I see like the way it affects my clients and the way it affects their teams and their companies and their families. And I think that together we can create something better in the world, something that is outside of the hustle culture, something that is more aligned also with us women. We're not meant to work like machines 24 hours. We have different seasons in life, different seasons in the month, different seasons in life when we're raising children. And sometimes we're more available to be on demand and sometimes we're less. And I think we can build a culture together that promotes success. We don't need to give up our desires and our dreams. And that also can cultivate softness and ease and doing it without stress.
I agree. That's something that I definitely want to close on for all other moms out there that are listening. I don't want you to give up on your dreams. There is so much stuff going on out there. And just because you haven't found it today doesn't mean you're not going to find it tomorrow. And there will always be this aha moment of, oh, that's what I was supposed to do. But everything becomes trial and error, just like you. And I can 100% relate, again, coming from corporate, right? Mm-hmm. We're all overachievers, especially me. I'm like one of those that I have this super curse that every time I start a job, they realize that I'm really good at my job. And they're like, oh, my gosh, she's really good. And she does pretty much everything. So, you know, more work to you, you know. And yeah, it's a blessing, but it's also like a curse because it's like, oh man, like why do I have to be so good at this job? Mm-hmm. And finding this avenue of podcasting, and it's a whole completely different field. It has nothing to do with what I've been doing in the past. And it was something, like you said, that you found over the years. And it was a passion that ignited. And for moms out there that are doing the same thing, that are trying to build their brands, that are trying to find extra income even through UGC. A lot of the moms are coming to me and saying that they're doing UGC content to make extra income for their families. Whatever the case may be, try to find something that really makes you happy and then go from it from there. Because everything is the same amount of load of work and the same amount of stress, but it becomes less stressful and it becomes so much fun when you love your job, you know, because that's where the stress comes from, right? Like you feel like you're like, oh, I have to get this done, but I have to get this done for someone else. You don't see the small win for you. And when you start something that you really want to start, even if you find it in a decade, I feel like that's, if you just stick to it and you find it, whether it's 10 years from now, it doesn't matter. It's something that is the same amount level of work, but the enjoyment level is higher. So it doesn't seem like you're doing work. It just seems like you're like, oh, this was such a good thing. But you have no idea that you were literally like you're doing the same level of work. It's just the enjoyment level is different. you know, this is where you have to do it. And this is like, oh my God, it's my passion. I love this. Like, I had so much fun doing it. Like I have today doing this episode with you.
Exactly. And not to say that people that are working in corporate or working for somebody else cannot have fun or have to be stressed. Like, it doesn't have to be. It's all in our mindset and we can shift it and reframe it. But yeah, I think that once we find what we love or learn to love what we do, it becomes a completely different thing. Exactly.
No, nothing wrong with corporate. I just think that, you know, if you, there are people that are like, this is what I want to do.
Yep.
And this is what I want to be. I want to be an architect. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be whatever. Because my audience is moms and, like, you know, moms that are starting brands and things like that, this is what I mean for you. But if you're a mom that you want to be in corporate,
you go, girl. You do you. We're like, whatever.
Go for it.
People happy. And then, and even if it's a transition, maybe we're trying to build our brand, but it's going to take us 2-3 years. Like we said, success doesn't happen overnight sometimes, most of the time. And I just want to let people know that are listening that we can have a stress-free, enjoyable life, whatever we do. Even if we're in corporate, even when we're transitioning, even if we haven't found our, you know, passion or purpose while we're looking, it doesn't have to be hard and it doesn't have to be stressful. Like, and of course, when we find it, it's amazing. But until then, we can still enjoy life because this is exactly what we talked about. Progress over perfection, or like, it's the journey. And we can enjoy the journey. We should enjoy the journey.
And this is exactly where I'm gonna end with this today. Just, I love what you said, and I want to circle back on that and end it in the episode right there. Progress over perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Take that to heart. Take that advice to heart. Your life will change drastically, and I hope that you really take that and practice it. And as well as what Jenny mentioned earlier in the episode of rituals, also I implement rituals into your life, and not rituals that you have to do every single day, but something that you can constantly be doing, even if it's once a week, once a month, where you can start small and then you celebrate your small wins after you get those tasks accomplished. But other than that, I love this. Jenny, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure having you. I hope that everyone out there really takes her advice to core. And if you have any questions, I'm going to leave the website in the link. It's leisurehacker.com. It's definitely worth a look.